Today we're going to be talking about fear and how fear can be a trap. Now let me tell you something about fear. Fear, and you're going to be surprised at how I'm going to say this initially, but you'll understand as the time goes by, fear and faith are linked in an incredible way. They're actual opposites. And the intention of God is that our faith constantly be growing. But if we do not have the presence of God in our lives, what we will find is that fear grows. Now, you can have fear provoked by a number of different things. In order to be free of fear, it doesn't mean we are free of the circumstances. We can be afraid when we feel alone. We could be afraid when all of a sudden our finances take a dive. We could be afraid when the doctor labels a particular sickness upon us. We can be afraid in any number of circumstances. When we walk into the new, when things are different and scary, how many remember the first crossing the border and not quite sure of what was going on? That not quite sure feeling, we could actually say, is a little bit of the fear process. And just on a personal note, as you have already heard me talk about, after the passing of my father, there could be a level of fear for family. You know, what's going to happen? And this was part of the last couple of weeks. What's going to take place in trying to be there for my family and for my mom? And she's here with us today. She came down with me, and we love on her. But all of these things can provoke fear, but we have in God a perfect love. And when we talk about that perfect love, we need to understand what that actually means. And this last week, while we were doing our Bible reading, we were in the Gospel of John. And in chapter 20, we come across this text. And I want to remind you where we are in relationship before we start reading the text. Jesus, in the first part of chapter 20, is having been registered as rising from the dead. The angels have already talked to women. The two disciples, Peter and John, have run to the tomb and witnessed an empty tomb there. So we have some background information before we jump in here that you know has already taken place. And this is what it says. On the evening of that first day of the week. So when is this? This is just that evening after Jesus has risen from the dead, right? And it says, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now think about that. Let that sink in for a moment. They were what? Afraid, right? Now, why would they be afraid? Well, we'll get into that in just a moment, but they were afraid. And it says, as we read on, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, what did he do? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So we have to think about the circumstances, because one could hear that circumstance and say, wow, it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. There must have been just this incredible joy. Everybody was just bouncing off the roof. They were having a party. But the text actually says just the opposite. The fear is in the lives of the disciples. And we can understand a little bit what that means. They've gone in and they've locked the doors. They've pulled the shutters. They don't want anybody to see who they are. Now, why would they be in this? Because they have already witnessed too much. Have you ever just seen too much? You lived too much? Well, what did they see? They had gone there and they had seen, for example, the night when Jesus was crucified. They saw all of this big group of soldiers show up, being led by Judas, the traitor. And Jesus stepped forward, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus." And he said, "I am." The same way that God revealed himself to Moses, Jesus declares, "I am." And at that, all of the whole detachment of Roman soldiers falls to the ground, Look it up. It's there. And then when they get back up, he says, so what do you want? If you want me, let them go, right? They watch as Jesus is arrested. They watch as he is beaten. As they're in the high priest's home, he's being punched. They end up having a crown of thorns that they twist together, the soldiers, and place on his head. They end up beating him and him carrying this cross that is too heavy for him, and he has to have somebody else carry it. They end up watching the crucifixion of Jesus and this being the Son of God. You know what? In their minds, they could be thinking, if they could do that to the Son of God, what could they do to us? So in one level, you can understand why they would be afraid, why the doors would be closed. But on the other side, when you have this empty tomb that they've been witnessing, you say, why would they be afraid? They should be filled with all of this joy. They should be filled with all of this hope for the future. But instead of having hope for the future, in the middle of the circumstances, the disciples of Jesus have fear. And I don't know if you've ever been in that same situation. You say, I'm a believer. I don't know why I have this fear creeping into my life. I don't know why I'm afraid of this or worried about that. And we have all kinds of words that we use to try to define fear without saying I'm afraid. You say, I'm a little worried. It's stressing me out. These are phrases that really mean there's fear trying to seep into my life. And the disciples who have been with Jesus all of this time have fear growing in their lives. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus shows up and he doesn't criticize them. He doesn't judge them. You know, there are times when we can read in text that Jesus judges somebody. For example, do you remember the time when Jesus decides to take a trip across water walking on it? He's walking along on the water and there are his disciples in the middle of a storm. And it's hard because they're rowing against the wind. And Jesus is going to go right on by them when they see them and when they see Jesus. And Jesus is called to by Peter and says, Jesus, if that's really you, call me to come out. Now, you know, that really, you think, this guy's not a logical person. Prove to me it's you, then I'll know to come out when you say. But no, if anyone out there calls my name, I'm going because it must be him. Well, that's what he does, right? And he starts walking toward Jesus. And when he gets close to Jesus, and we know he's close because he's only an arm stretch away, all of a sudden the Bible declares that Peter's eyes are taken to look at the wind and the waves and the storm. And all of a sudden what happens? Fear enters his life. And he goes down. And he's about ready to drown. And he cries out, Lord, save me. You know what? At that point, Jesus doesn't say, peace be with you, my brother. Jesus reaches out his hand, picks him up and says, man of little faith, where's your faith? Grow up. You know, that's what he does. But here we don't have Jesus telling him that. We're going to look at the difference in what was happening in there. Because Jesus here simply says, peace be with you. And Jesus, it seems, knows that we cannot control fear. You know, you could be the most logical person in the world and think it through, and the disciples could be saying, you know, if they wanted to arrest us, they would have done it when they took Jesus. We were all together on that mount. On the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. All of it, we were all together. If they wanted us, they could have. And we were there. And even when Jesus breathed his last, John, who wrote this gospel, was there present. Because Jesus says, John, your mother. They were right there. In their logic, they could have said, you know what, if they really wanted to arrest us and kill us, they would have already done it. But no, logic doesn't work. How many of you have ever tried to think through fear? It doesn't work. You cannot conquer fear with logic. You can't think it through. The only thing that can conquer fear, Jesus is offering. And he comes and he says to his disciples, peace be with you. And so when Jesus is offering this peace, the disciples are there in fear because of all of the circumstances around them. So you say, well, what happened on that day? Well, on that day, Jesus shows up, he says, peace, and he gives us an important piece of information. Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, this is the real key that we need to understand. When you are afar off from the presence of God, you have no recourse to fight the fear. Jesus comes in, and in his presence, he can say, peace be with you. And that actually, by the way, is the reason for the difference in the response from Jesus in the moment when Peter starts to go down. Because Peter is in front of Jesus. Hello? You have the author of peace right there, the Prince of Peace. And he looks at him and says, man, a little faith, what's wrong with you? But when the disciples didn't have Jesus, that was actually part of the prayer that Jesus had prayed back in the Gospel of John in chapter 16. He prays for his disciples and he says, Lord, Father, protect them. I have protected them with my name, the name that you have given me beforehand, but now I'm not going to be here. And so there's this moment where there's this feeling alone. And alone never is one that you say, oh, I can beat fear on my own. When you're with a big crowd of people, you can get people to stand in the way of fear. When you're at a funeral and others are talking, it's easy to feel like the fear disappears for what the future holds. But eventually you have to go back to your own place and you get in your own bed and you're all alone with your own thoughts. And fear is one of those things that begins to creep in and attack. And it had attacked these disciples. But fortunately, it was that same night of his resurrection. So the fear has grown from the moment of the crucifixion, if you will, 3 days and into the night. And now Jesus shows up and says, my peace I give to you. But then if we read on, there's the next situation. In John chapter 20 still, the same chapter, the very next verse in verse 24. It says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So what does that mean? He didn't have his fear chased away. Right? Poor Thomas. He is looked down on, I think, unjustly. I can identify with Thomas. Doubting Thomas. I'm glad that no one called me Doubting Gary. Because, you know, if you don't actually understand what's going on here and see how fear can grow. I remember one time I had traveled as a teenager to South American country of Colombia, and I thought that I had been forgotten by the one who was going to pick me up. I was all alone in an international airport, unable to speak Spanish, and I was there for hours while they closed the airport down around me. I was promising God everything because of fear. So I can identify with Thomas. Because the more, in my case, I had landed and I had gone through customs and I was sitting on my luggage out in the parking lot waiting for this would-be missionary I had never met before to come and pick me up. And I waited. And I'll tell you, every minute that he was delayed was a minute that fear was able to grow. And so here we have Thomas. He's not there that day. And it says, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. And you know what? Those other disciples had the doors closed when the women had told them, we've seen the Lord. Right? But their fear was still there. For fear of the Jews, it was all closed up. And now so with Thomas. And you know, he has the same thing happening in his life as the other disciples. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Well, they were in the same situation. They may not have voiced it, but they were in the same situation. They could have said to the women, you know what? Thanks for the good information. I really hope you're telling me the truth, but it's not enough to chase away our fear. Right? So we read on. It says, a week later. Can you imagine fear growing for a whole week? That becomes a two-headed monster. And the fear has grown. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Now, that's interesting to me. Though the doors were locked, I have to wonder what the conversation was like. The disciples, I mean, they have the fear chased away. They have the peace of Jesus in their life because they've already heard Jesus show up and say, "My peace I give to you. Receive peace." And they go along and they say, "Let's open the windows. Let's open the doors. We're ready to celebrate. Jesus is alive." And Thomas is going along. I've been around people like that. I open up the drape and they pull it down. They don't want anybody to see. Fear can control you. And Thomas is there. And so the doors are all closed. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, the same thing is offered. Because Jesus isn't saying, "Doubting Thomas, how could you?" He hadn't had the fear chased away yet. He wasn't there when Jesus breathed on his disciples. He needed the same presence of God to chase away the fear. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." So Thomas ends up with the same encounter with Jesus that his other disciples had had. And so I say, poor Thomas, he's really misjudged, I think. He just was in the wrong place at the right time, if you will. He wasn't there. And he had to suffer with his fear so much longer. And there's people here that may have suffered with fear unjustly, unneeded. Why? Because we have the answer. And as fear continues to prolong, and day turned into week, and week turned into month, and month turned into year, the fear can grow and become so huge that it controls every aspect of our lives. And we have to do certain things in certain ways just to try to protect ourselves when we should be able to trust God in all of our circumstances. But how do we get to that point of trust? Because we could, as his disciples, be trapped in fear even after Jesus has risen from the dead. We need Jesus to show up. Fear had caused Thomas to doubt. And you know what? When we say, "Yeah, I believe God could do this," we can actually have the same, "He could, but he probably won't do it for me." Doubt seeps in. Doubt starts to affect us. And so Jesus can offer the same solution to us as he had offered to Thomas that day. As Jesus comes and he breathes upon us. And you say, "How can that happen, Pastor?" Because the reality is that Jesus isn't walking this earth right now. He's already ascended into heaven. How can this be? Because Jesus didn't say, "Stop doubting" to them. He simply says, "Let my presence be here with you." Well, as long as we are walking with Jesus, the presence of God is in the middle of the storm. And that's when Jesus would step in and say, "If you know my presence is here, if I'm walking with you, if we are walking as the vessels, the temples of the Holy Spirit," then Jesus would come along in the moment of fear and say, instead of saying, "Peace be with you," Jesus would come in and say, "Man, woman of little faith, what's wrong with you? I'm with you. I'm here to protect you." But where are we at? Are we allowing the breathing of the Holy Spirit to be upon us? It's because Jesus loves us. He doesn't come to condemn. He comes to love. And he says, "I want to show you how much I love you." And sometimes in our fear, we can't feel the embrace of the Father. But it's when we are fearful, it's when we have our world in an upheaval, when we say that we're stressed, or we say we don't understand, or we say that we're worried, or we say that any number of things, that's when we need the presence of God all the more to come and pick us up and carry us along. The great thing about having no way out, remember the doors were closed? It really meant for God that there was nowhere for fear to escape when Jesus showed up. You know, it is one thing And you see the text throughout the Gospels of Jesus showing up and seeing this person and meeting this person that's demon-possessed, and he casts the demon out. In one occasion, he casts this legion of demons out into a herd of pigs. And what do? They immediately drown all the pigs. Well, instead of just casting out, you know what Jesus arranges to do? When all of the doors are closed, he ends up going in and not casting out fear, but destroying fear. When you get to a place when you have no other hope, no other recourse, the answer that God gives is, great, now I can show up and completely destroy the enemy. That's why we can have confidence, even in the moment when the world says there's no way you should have confidence, because Jesus shows up, because Jesus is still in the business of breathing upon us. And we need that, don't we? We need Jesus to breathe upon us when the doctor gives us that negative report. We need Jesus to breathe upon us when we're worried about our finances for tomorrow. We need Jesus to breathe upon us when we're worried about what the future holds in just general sense. All of these times, we need Jesus to come in and destroy completely fear. John, years later, because John, remember, he's the one that wrote that gospel. He's the one that remembered Jesus showing up and saying, peace be with you. And they had everything except peace. John had been one of those that had run along with Peter. Matter of fact, he ran faster than Peter. He got there first, although he didn't go in first. But he ran there and he got there first, right? That's what counts. You beat the race. And he was remembering those moments. When in fear, they had the doors closed and everything was shut up. But he highlights the unique way that love came in and changed everything. That Jesus just suddenly was there and said, peace be with you. And all of a sudden, from that moment on, they changed from a fear-based group to a faith-based group. And that's why they're incredibly linked. When Jesus destroys the fear, then we have faith. And the more we have faith, the more he destroys the fear, the greater our faith can grow, larger and stronger. And those disciples went out to turn the known world upside down. They were fearless in the face of incredible odds, in the face of lions, in the face of different beasts, in the face of being attacked by the enemy. They would walk into the temple courts later on and they would preach fearlessly the love of Jesus. They would look at those same people that had crucified Jesus and say, judge for yourself whether it's right in God's eyes to obey you or God. They had this faith that impermeated their beings because Jesus was with them, and in so doing gave them purpose. Every one of you here today have a great purpose in Jesus. If it weren't so, you wouldn't be here. The reason why you're still here breathing and active and alive is because Jesus has a purpose for you. And that's why we have to live by faith. And we celebrate those who have gone before us. And I celebrate my dad and the heritage that he gave. You know, he had a great name. His name was Gary. And it really stunned the guy when I was going into the hospital and said, I'm here to visit Gary Neighbor. And what's your name? Gary Neighbor. You're visiting yourself, you know. But we can remember with the heritage, but our tomorrow, just like those who've gone before us, is wrapped up in Jesus. And that's why John would write his letter to all of the churches. And this is actually, if you haven't done the Bible reading today, jump in. Today's a good day to start. We're in 1 John 4, one of the texts. And it says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You see, Jesus didn't show up to punish them and say, you a little faith. He showed up to demonstrate his love for them. Peace be with you. So I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that the peace of God fill your heart to overflowing. that the peace of God so permeate your being that you have no recourse with fear anymore. Fear just has to run out and is completely banished and completely destroyed amongst you, so that God's love would be all that you sense and your faith grow larger and larger, so that you can fulfill the purpose that God has for you. That's what I want to pray for you. Bow your heads with me if you will. Lord, I thank you for being the great defeater of fear. Enemies come in all shapes and sizes. David saw an enemy in a giant, while others see enemies in storms, in problems, in health. But Lord, all of those enemies have the same answer. And Lord, we choose and we look to you. While David did not march into that valley of Elam alone, because you were with him, we go out of this place with the same confidence because you are breathing upon us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to take a very real and personal presence in our lives, that you would destroy fear, and where it's pulled out by the roots, plant firmly the faith that you want to have in our lives, giving us our purpose. We may know our purpose already, but fear had hindered us from fulfilling it. And now with faith taking its place, Lord, we ask that you would help us to fulfill our every purpose, that we could have confidence like you at the very end of your days upon the cross cried out, "It is finished." You had completed your task. As Paul the Apostle would pray, "I'm being poured out even now. I've run the race. I finished." Lord, that we would have that same confidence because through faith, we have finished the purpose that you've given us in life. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray for those obstacles. Completely destroy them. The one that's here right now that has something pending with the doctor, and they're waiting for that prognosis. Lord, you take out the fear and destroy it and put faith as you heal. Lord, for those who are worried about their finances, Lord, be our supplier as you always have been. And just demonstrate your great love for those. Whatever be the problem, Lord, destroy the enemy today. Let us see that enemy as David saw his enemy a few moments later, decapitated and unable to move. We pray it, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen and amen. So go out of this place as victorious warriors filled with faith. Have no use for fear. Amen. We'll see you on Wednesday at Bible study, 11 a.m. We continue with the book of Luke.